His words for us today were, among other things, kind of hard to get through, aren't they? I mean, honestly, who talks like that? Who speaks in the third person about themselves? Okay. For those who are interested, scholars believe that John's gospel was written down about three generations after Jesus was around. Okay, so that would be like us trying to write down quotes from the Civil War in this country today. Okay. Long time after. Okay, so these are much more theologically developed messages for us today. Okay, the important part of Jesus' words for us is that they are part of his farewell speech. Now, if you were going to be leaving, never to have physical or any kind of contact with your family, your friends, your close associates, what would you want them to know? Well, where the key is, first of all, right? Okay. Where the light switches are, those important things. For me, I'd be concerned about a succession plan. Who's going to carry on the work and who's going to be in charge? And more important, I think, is whether they really understand the mission and the purpose and the whole question of what we're for. But wouldn't it be a heartbreaker to work so long to build something up, only to see it fall apart when you leave? That happens to lots and lots of small family businesses, doesn't it? Okay. I'm sure you know about them. They might survive two generations, but third one, they frequently have all kinds of trouble. But this is not just some small family business. This is none other than the Savior of the world, the Son of God, no less. And this Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed, beaten, whipped, and crucified to death. And as that is coming, his few followers are going to scatter like rats jumping from a sinking ship. So by all impressions and standards of the world, Jesus is a disappointment and a failure. God comes to us in Jesus to save his people from sin, death, and themselves. And saving them from themselves, by the way, means saving them from things like their own arrogant, uninformed, short-sighted thinking, where they believe that God wants to do nothing more than punish, so God needs to be placated and mollified in order to avoid punishment. So this Jesus, after 3 years, he has, are you ready for it? 12. 12 close followers. By the standards of the world, a failure. And one of them, by the way, he turns out to be a disappointment. Okay? By way of comparison, in our church body in the ELCA, pastors who are called to do new church developments, new mission starts, by the end of 2 years, if there are not 150 people, your funding is cut off. After 3 years, Jesus had 12. Of those 12, most of the time, the Gospels tell us they didn't get it. They could not put together what Jesus was saying. You know, as I've said before, while the Gospels don't record it, I just have this image of Jesus wanting to sigh every time he needs to repeat himself to the disciples. We just heard it a couple weeks ago when Jesus said, I'm the gate of the sheep. And they don't get it. And he said to them, okay, I am the gate of the sheep. I am the gate of the, I'm the gate of the sheep. Do you get it? Part of me wonders if this is what it's about every time Jesus looks up to heaven, and I wonder if he's saying, God, really? These people? And yet, with this unimpressive track record, Jesus is referring to God's glory, Jesus' own glory, the power of changing the world, and so on. So how can that be? What kind of glory is there here? Well, it's because Jesus isn't done. He's just started. And that's part of the point. If God did it all for us in Jesus, then it might have died out. But instead, God invites each one of us to carry the ball, to believe and trust, to reorder our lives, to carry the signs of the kingdom of God with us, to dare to live differently than the world around us, to live with different priorities than the vengeful, me first, all about me world. And partly in order to make sure the disciples, who again often miss the point, to make sure they were clear who Jesus is and what his mission and purpose is, he summarizes it for them again today. So Jesus told them he had come to show, to reveal God to them. Remember, God's people over the years had begun to cast God as remote, legalistic, quick to punish, and had turned their faith into a number of external rituals and motions to go through with their heart, without necessarily their hearts being in it. This is the Jesus who taught his disciples to refer to God as Daddy. Daddy, even. Not Father. Daddy. Jesus taught his disciples that following God and being faithful was not just about religious actions and sacrifices in the temple. Those are important, but they are a religion. Faith is about how we will live. So Jesus ups the ante. Will we love God by loving others? Will we sacrifice in order to love? Will we place others first? If we have two coats, will we give a coat to somebody who has none and needs it? Will we dare to share what we have brought for ourselves and our families when 500 people are gathered to hear him? Will we forgive those who hurt us? Will we turn the other cheek? This is the Jesus who taught us that it's not what we put into our mouths that makes us clean. It's what comes out. Will we care for the weak and the powerless, the hungry and the poor, or will we turn a blind eye to them? I just read something the other day in some of the nerdy stuff I read about Irish immigrants to London in the 1870s, I think. And they were desperate for any kind of work at all. And if they didn't have enough money, they would be evicted from the tenement they lived in. And it was not uncommon to see whole families literally starving to death on the streets of London. And this article went on to say, so some wealthy people were asked, well, what are you going to do about them? And they said, oh, why do you care? There's more of them where they came from. That's how the world can be. That's how the world was only 150 years ago. Jesus leads us to show mercy and compassion in the face of heartless indifference. That is what faith is about. That is what Jesus wants his followers to carry on. Well, we know how the story ends, don't we? Jesus was arrested shortly after this. He was ridiculed, mocked, beaten, whipped, crucified, along with lots of others who the Roman Empire considered a nuisance. And yeah, Jesus looked like a disappointment. Even some of his followers expected him still to lead a revolt to get Rome out of there, despite everything Jesus said. And yet, Jesus says in his words today, he's handing off the work to his disciples and his followers in every age. So again, remember, it might be helpful to know that this first select group of 12 disciples, they pretty much dropped the ball. They ran. They hid out. They gave in to fear. When the news of the resurrection came, some of them refused to believe it, partly because it was brought to them by women. When Jesus appeared to them, there was still doubt. Some of them didn't recognize Jesus as he walked with them. And full of fear, they hid for 50 days. It wasn't until the Holy Spirit came to them that things began to become clear. But that's next week's story. For us, the good news is we don't need to be perfect. We might drop the ball. We might go the wrong way, convinced we're doing the right thing, and still God's work continues. Because see, we are not here to meet the world's standards of success and power. We're not just about the numbers. We are called instead to be about the business of being God's partners in redeeming this world, in buying it back from itself, in all the ways our world gets lost in materialism and greed, hate and meanness, name-calling, bullying, calling evil good and calling good evil, and all the other things the world does, sometimes even in God's name. We don't have a quota. We only have a direction to go in. Nothing terribly specific, in part, I think, because that way we're not tempted to check off one or two things and say, okay, I've done my duty now. No, instead, we are sent to love, to carry God's promise of hope and new life into a world that breeds despair and sometimes seems devoted to stealing life from us. We don't need to complete the journey. Jesus didn't complete it either. Jesus got it started, the way of following God faithfully, finding that we don't need to search for God because God comes searching for us. Our job is to follow and to stop pretending, oh, we got this, that we have it all covered, and to let go of our imitation of power and to let God lead us in the path of Jesus. Because in Him, we've already been saved, and not for a rainy day. And by the way, just in case you think you are, this is a rainy day. Okay? Now, we have been saved to be spent, to empty ourselves out with endless acts of love and sacrifice. That is how we get to carry on what Jesus began. That's His blessing for us. Hard as it is to get through in His words today, that's His blessing. Everything You gave me, God, I gave to them. Everything Jesus gave to us is still alive, lives in us and through us.